Hello and welcome to Just Markets Podcast 365. My name is Shay and today is May 1st, 2019. Well, hello investors. I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Today, we had a good Fed statement and rate decision. The Fed decided not to raise rates and keep them unchanged and didn't cut them or raise them. And they had a pretty good Fed statement. Now, what they discussed, what Jerome Powell discussed in his press conference and what was in the Fed statement was probably not a surprise for any of the listeners of this podcast or you investors, because it is exactly what we have been talking about. We're talking about inflation is running at a lower rate. We have growth that's moderating a little bit from last year, but with the economy still growing, the Fed is not worried about a recession in the next 12 months. And they are, at the moment in time, everything they see, they are not looking at making any changes to the monetary policy when it comes to Fed funds rate. Now, one thing of note, during the press conference, Jerome Powell mentioned that they're going to keep the Fed balance sheet constant. They're not going to let any more debt, the long-term debt they have been purchasing during the financial crisis, run off anymore. So that is a slightly of a stimulus environment, because they were letting some of the debt roll off early last year. So that is not the case now. We're definitely going to get into a lot of this later, and I'm going to do a deep dive into the Fed statement. I'm going to read it out and kind of go through it line by line. But I just wanted to mention before we get started, just kind of summarize everything for you, and which I just did. One thing of note is before the Fed decision, the market was really flat, so slightly positive, but the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ was up almost a 0.5%. And by the end of the day, it closed down. The Dow closed down 162 points. The S&P closed on 22 points. That's 75 basis points. And the NASDAQ closed down 50 basis points or 45 points. So it's probably close to a percent or in some change, given one index or the other, move post the Fed decision. So that is an interesting response from the market as a whole. Now, I do want you to take this with a grain of salt, right? Market reaction last 20 minutes usually is in institutional investors buying and selling, and seems like those institutional investors sold here towards the end of the day, but it does not create a trend, does not create a sentiment change, but it is something of value to understand and put in your kind of list of things that you have to think about as you're assessing the market, as the initial market reaction. But you know, what is the overall market reaction? We will know over the next few days, right? So, but it is something to definitely think about a little bit, but not anything that you have to say, hey, the market doesn't like this at all, let me sell everything. No, that is definitely not what I'm saying. Now, on the bond side versus the equity, we saw really no move from the 10-year U.S. Treasury. So we're looking at the yield curve here, right? So the 10-year U.S. Treasury did not really move at all. We saw the most movement in the 2 to 3 year and up to 5 year part of the yield curve. So that belly of the curve is what we really saw change. And what we saw was rates rising. So hence, that means that the prices of those bonds came down, right? So prices of these treasury bonds in the belly of the 2, 3, and 5 year came down and the yields moved up. Now, what that tells us is that the market is changing its expectations on, you know, the yield curve is really changing its expectations on growth and inflation. Now, we'll talk more about that probably in the coming days as we see the yield stabilize. But today, I just wanted to mention that, you know, you always have to talk about the equity side and also the bond side, the yield side, and how those two react. Now, the bond side, the fixed income side, is usually the better indicator of reaction than the equity side. You know, the yields really tell you always a better story about the economy as a whole than the equity side. So that's why we always have to look at the bond side, the fixed income side, versus the equity reaction also. So you also always have to compare and contrast, because one is definitely usually better than the other, and the bond side is usually better at these things. So now that we have briefly talked about the Fed statement and the decision, now let's discuss this information in detail. So what we'll go through first is the Fed statement, and by line, and talk about what they're talking about and what we have talked about, and kind of, you know, kind of walk through what we've been talking about the past month and what the Fed is saying, and compare and contrast if there is a contrast. All right, so I'm going to read the statement for the Federal Open Market Committee statement for May 1st that was released today. And what it says is, information received since the Federal Open Market Committee met in March indicates that labor market remains strong and that economic activity rose at a solid rate. Job gains have been solid on average in recent months, and the unemployment rate has remained low. So what they're saying here is that the economy is growing at a decent rate, the labor market is very strong, and they believe that the past three months is not an indicator on how strong the economy is, and the unemployment rate, obviously we all know that it is low. Now, the next sentence is, growth of household spending and business fixed income slowed in the first quarter. Now, remember, we talked about this in the GDP number that came out on Friday, right? We discussed, when we took it apart, when we peeled back the onion, we saw that the consumption, right, was lower. It was 0.8%. And then the other part that really worried us was the investment, the fixed investment. Now, inventory came in much higher than expected, so kind of covered that area a little bit, but if you took it apart, that's what you saw. So those two areas is what we talked about, and that's exactly what the Fed is talking about here in the statement. Is they saw the household spending, that's the individual spending by consumers, that came in as lower than expected in the first quarter, and that the business investment was also lower. Now, the next sentence talks about, on a 12-month basis, overall inflation and inflation for items other than food and energy have declined and are running below 2%. Now, this is going back to our previous episode, and we talked about core inflation and how core inflation was at zero, right? And that excludes food and energy, right? And this is exactly what they're talking about here. They're talking about that the overall inflation slowed below 2%. Now what they're doing is they're using a 12-month average. We saw it for the quarter itself, right? For March, actually. But they're using a 12-month average. So because that core inflation for that quarter was zero, it brings down the overall average from the last 12 months. And that's why they're saying it's below 2%. The next sentence is, on balance, market-based measures of inflation compensation have remained low in recent months, and survey-based measures of longer inflation expectations are little changed. So what they're saying here is that inflation compensation, which means that personal income, wages, have still remained low in recent months, the last 3 months, but overall what they're saying is longer-term inflation expectations of around 2% is usually their target, is still in line. They feel that inflation is going to have a bounce. It will come back. They feel that this is a quote-unquote transitionary factor. It's not something that's permanent or they have to do something about it. They feel that it's just a transition issue, and they think it's going to correct itself. So that's what they're saying here. And then the next paragraph is, consistent with its statutory mandate, the committee seeks to foster maximum employment and price stability. And this is something we talked about yesterday, that the Fed really has two mandates. It has maximum employment and price stability. And the only way you can have those two is, and that's the only way you can have it, is if you have economic expansion, right? That's it. That's the goal, right? Is to keep the economy expanding where you have maximum employment and you have price stability. So inflation is what price stability means, that is at a moderate pace, which the Fed's target is around 2%, just around there. In support of these goals, the committee decided to maintain their target range of the federal funds rate at 2.25% to 2.5%. Now, everybody talks about at the rate change at a percentage. In reality, the Fed always talks about ranges. They will let the Fed funds rate float, you know, a little bit here and there, but that's why they always talk about a range and not a actual number. So when that range changes, when the upper end changes or the lower end changes, or they move the entire range, that's when you have a rate change, right? So that's what they mean when they're talking about this range. The next sentence is, the committee continues to view sustained expansion of economic activity, strong labor market conditions, and inflation near a committee's symmetric 2% objective as the most likely outcome. So here, what they're saying is that they feel that the labor market conditions are strong, and they feel that economic activity is also strong, and their objective of 2% inflation, they use a complex word of symmetric. It really means their rationale or their balanced approach of 2% of inflation objective. That's what it really means. This is, so they're just giving you their backdrop and their target here, right? So that's all they're giving you here. Now the next sentence talks about, in light of global economic and financial developments and muted inflation pressures, the committee will be patient as it determines what future adjustments to the target range for the federal funds rate may be appropriate to support these outcomes. So they're talking about some of the global and economic developments that are really influencing their decision making in the future, right? So they're probably talking about the Brexit, maybe a recession or additional weakness in Europe or China, what have you, right? So they're talking about, when they're talking about their assumptions and their expectations, they are taking into account the global picture, right? And that's what they're talking about here. And they're taking this into account to make sure they're able to reach their targets based on all the global information they have. So it's not just based on US information, they're looking at the global data. Now the next paragraph is, in determining the timing and the size of future adjustments to the target range for the federal funds rate, the committee will assess realized and expected economic conditions relative to maximum employment objective and its symmetric 2% inflation objectives. So basically what they're talking about here is simple. It is, they're talking about, as they adjust their future expectations of the target range for the Fed funds rate, they want to assess what is maximum employment, relatively speaking, because it's always relative, because it depends on participation rate and your U6 employment rate and your top line unemployment rate in conjunction with where inflation is as well, right? So they're going to, look at all these things in a balanced way and really talk about that. The next sentence is, this assessment will take into account wide range of information, including the labor market conditions, indicators of inflation pressures and inflation expectations, and the reading of financial and international development. So basically what we just talked about earlier, they're going to, take into account as they make their decisions going forward about, what the global picture looks like, what the economic picture looks like here in the US and globally, and really take everything into account when they are making their decisions. So basically they're telling you they're going to be data dependent, right? Data dependent. That's what they're really telling you here. So if you listen to this statement and went through it with me here, you would really say, hey, this is what we have been talking about on this podcast for the past month, right? We've been talking about inflation's benign. The housing market is kind of slowing down here a little bit. It's trending in the wrong direction a little bit. So you're seeing a slowdown in the residential market. You are seeing inflation that's, subpar. So there's no reason for the Fed to raise rates. And we've talked about that extensively in the past few episodes, that there's no reason for the Fed to raise rates or cut rates. They're going to hold things constant here from everything that we're seeing. So if you are a listener of this podcast, you are not surprised by anything that is said, that was said in the statement or by the Fed in the press in the, or by Jerome Powell in the press conference, right? So even though the market was a little surprised by all the information they were saying, you, the listener of this podcast, were not, right? Because, you know, what we are following on this podcast is information and the data that really matters, and we are really filtering out all that noise that really doesn't affect you as an investor. Now, could this be today, the Fed decision and their statement could be a catalyst for a technical pullback in the market that we have been talking about for a while, for the past couple of weeks? I think so. It's a possibility. It's not a guarantee, but it could be that the market or investors were waiting for the Fed decision. And if they came out more dovish, this market could have risen probably a little bit more. But the fact is the Fed came in as bounced, which is great news for the economy, because that means they're looking at things objectively. And, you know, one thing Jerome Powell in his press conference mentioned, and he was asked a question from a reporter, I forgot who, but the reporter asked him about the pressure from the administration to cut rates by 1%, and what Jerome Powell, I loved his response, and he said was, here on the FOMC, we have a process, a multi-day process on what we go through, and we look at things in an objective manner, and nothing else matters to us. So he did not mention that he's not going to listen to the president or the administration. He just strictly talked about their process and how it works, and that's how they come to their decisions. So, and they keep it as objective as possible, and it keeps them away from any political bias, right? So, which was a great response, and I think that helps the market for people like me, the money managers, the portfolio managers out there. You know, gives us confidence that any decision they're making, in their investment, in their Fed funds rate or in their monetary policy, they're making it in an objective manner to keep their dual mandate in play of maximum employment and price stability. I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. I definitely enjoy going through all this dissection and taking things apart and talking about it. So I have great fun doing it. If you enjoyed it, please rate us 5 stars. Please follow and subscribe to this podcast so it will automatically be downloaded on your platform or on your app on your phone. And thank you very much for listening. Until next time, take care. Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To the extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.